Apostle Paul's story is the story of a rescue. And can I add this? It's the story of a great rescue. He was a great persecutor, was he not? In Acts chapter 8, we're told that he made havoc of the church. In Acts chapter 9, we're told that he was sent to hail any that were in this way into prison. By the way, the this way is the exact way that you and I are in. The Jesus way. Amen. Amen. He was a great persecutor. You know what we find out in Acts chapter 9? He saw a great light, didn't he? I remember a dear friend of mine in Bible college talked about that experience that the Apostle Paul had, and he said this: nobody gets saved unless God gets their attention. But you know what? That's true. If you're at a door and you're talking to somebody about the Lord, and Pastor Donald, you've been there, I've been there, others of you that are soul winners, you've been there, you're talking to somebody at a door and they start doing this. Listen, best thing to do is give them a tract, tell them you love them, pray for them, and move on. Because I'll promise you this, when God gets your attention, He's got it. And they're zoned in with you. So he saw a great light. You remember what happened? The great light shined from heaven on the Damascus Road. And praise God, he had a great conversion, didn't he? Oh, remember, he started out as a persecutor, and after he had a great conversation with the Lord, what happened? He got saved on the Damascus Road. Great conversion. You know what else he had? He had a great ministry. He had a great ministry. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 9, verse 16, God said to Ananias, "I will show him how great things he must suffer for the kingdom of heaven's sake." He had a great ministry. By the way, he was thankful. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "I thank my God for putting me into the ministry." The context of our text here, Paul had such a pastor's heart. He really did. He founded the church of Corinth on his second missionary journey in Acts chapter 18. And wrote 1 Corinthians, by the way, 1 Corinthians, and we're going to talk about it, Lord willing, the Sunday night I get back from vacation, we're going to talk about the church's response to open immorality. There's a lot of it. What's the church's response to open immorality? But Paul's 1 Corinthians, when you read 1 Corinthians, I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's a letter of correction for carnality. That's 1 Corinthians. It was a letter of correction for carnality. He wrote it during his Ephesian ministry there in Acts chapter 18. On his third journey, he's reunited with Titus, and he writes 2 Corinthians and sends it by Titus' hand, Acts chapter 20 and 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And 2 Corinthians is a much more tender epistle. Much more tender. And he really expressed his thanksgiving. And think about this, folks. He expressed his thanksgiving toward the repentant majority rather than condemnation of the rebellious minority. Let me say that again. Paul, in his pastor's heart, expressed his thanksgiving for the repentant majority rather than his condemnation for the rebellious minority. Can I tell you, sometimes as a pastor, we focus on the 10 that aren't here instead of the 100 that are. Very common. Very, very common. And I'm glad here that Paul writes such a tender epistle, and you can see his pastor's heart. If you look at verse number 23 of our text, look at his motivation. He said, "I call to record upon my soul that to spare you I came not yet unto Corinth." He didn't want to come in that condemning spirit. But if you look, you see what's his goal in verse 24. He says, "Not that we have dominion over your faith, Paul said, my goal is not that I would stand over you and point. Do this or else. No. No, that's not it at all. You could tell he has a pastor's heart. Because he says at the end of the verse, but are helpers of your joy. You know what a pastor wants you to do, Miss Mary? He wants to help you have joy. He wants you to help you have joy in the Lord. By the way to do that is to obey this book. Amen? And sometimes pastors have a way of pointing things out, and the Holy Spirit works with the Word of God in the pastor's heart. Amen? He said his goal was that you'd have joy. And then he says, for by faith ye stand. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad I don't stand by works. Good night. Amen? I thought this morning, I quoted the verse, Lord, if thou didst mark iniquities, who can stand? Nobody. Well, I've been working for the Lord all these years. Listen, we don't stand in our works. We stand by faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ that He gives to us on our faith. So you see, his motivation, his goal. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2, we see his determination. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry? He said, I'm not coming to make you sorry. He said, I'm just determined that that's going to be this. I've written the harsh letter of correction. Now we see his reason there in verses 3 and 4. It says, and I wrote the same to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them from whom I ought to rejoice. Listen, remember folks, Paul birthed this church. He had seen these people come to Christ. He had seen, listen, the city of Corinth makes New York City look like a Sunday school picnic for carnality. It makes Las Vegas look like vacation Bible school. Wicked. And he saw these people get saved. And by the way, praise God, he listed those laundry list of sins in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But two verses later he said, such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, you are justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that God still has the power to save people out of their sins. Deliver them from sins. And by the way, He loves us so much that He doesn't let us live in our sin. Huh. See His heart here. His reason. Verse 4 is the text of our message tonight. What's His reason? It says, they're out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that ye should be grieved. Paul was not writing so that they would be sorry. He said this, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly to you. He said to this church at Corinth, he wanted this church to know how much he loved them. The title of my message tonight is, Why I Love My Church. Why I, as your pastor, love you. Love this church. Now, there's some personal reasons. They're not part of my points tonight. I love that you love me. I'm not easy to love. Some of you right now are saying, by the way, some of you aren't all that easy to love either. Should I call names? Amen. Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking of people in this room, that are there. There's, by the way, there's some of you that are very easy to love. Mrs. Harmon, you're very easy to love. Amen. Miss Ruth Marie, you're very easy to love. Amen. And then there's others of us that are not as easy to love. Now don't get mad at them because I call. Boy, I'm really digging myself a hole here. I'm thinking about pastor friends that I have in the ministry and how they are treated by their church. And it's shameful. It's shameful. And it's not that way here. It's not that way here. I've as far as I know, I've never caught wind of anyone in this church saying an unkind word to my wife or my children. Ever. Never. There's so many reasons that I love you. I love you. Every time we eat, we mention you, dear people. Listen, the truth is you buy our food. Now, we go to Meijer's and actually pick it up, but you put the money in the plate that allows us to be able to have a salary. You put the money in the plate that allows us to be able to have a home that's warm now. And hopefully we'll have the windows open soon. Amen. Not while we're away, Mom. Amen. Don't open those windows, Mom. Amen. Listen, there's so many reasons I could say why we love you, dear people. I'm so encouraged. I preached this morning in Sunday school for Pastor White, and I preached a Sunday school lesson that I preach away at a lot of places when I preach for another preacher. And it's how to be a blessing to your pastor. It's an awkward message to preach when you're the pastor. Let me tell you how to be a blessing to me. No, it's one of those messages you just can't preach at home, but you can preach it somewhere else to help people. But, you know, as I was going down through that list, Brother Lawley, I had about 18 points. And you know what? I thought every one of them, yep, Loomis Park does that. Yep, people of Loomis Park do that. Yep, I get letters of encouragement every week. Every week. I get kind words said to me every week. People tell me when my preaching is a blessing to them. And they don't tell me when it's not such a blessing. And I appreciate that too. Amen. You know what? My wife and I are going to be leaving on Thursday to go on a vacation. And I'll tell you what, I want you people to know I love you. I love you. My wife loves you. We love you. We're not going down to candidate anywhere, just in case anybody wanted to know. Amen. We're not going to any other churches. This is our church. This is our church. And of course, lest the theologians jump all over me. I know it's his church. I know whose church it is. You know whose church it is, amen. But we're part of it. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. And that's a good amen right there, husbands. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 through 27 tells us we're to love the church just like the body cares for one another. Again, I'm so stirred our offering for our brother last week and his dear wife. That speaks volumes about our church. I've got 10 points, and the truth is I could have more, but Brother Hendershot's not here to pick on yet. Amen. So I have, Brother Samuels, I've got 10 points. Amen. Why I love my church. Why I love my church. Let me tell you, number one, I love my church because at my church, where I go to church, the Bible is magnified. Amen. The Bible is magnified. You say, oh, we're only supposed to magnify God. Listen, you want to go to a verse with me? Take your Bibles and travel to Psalm 138. Take your Bibles and travel to Psalm 138. And you could put those theologians to bed that say that. Amen. With this verse right here. Psalm chapter 138. The Bible is magnified here. Psalm 138 verse 1 says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thine own name. Brother Boston, there's only one thing that God puts above his own name, and that's this book. Listen, we're part of a church where the Bible is magnified. Listen, I have my opinions on things. You have your opinions on things. And it's okay to have opinions. But I'll tell you what, when the Bible says it's so around here, it's still so. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Around here at this church, we still believe in the inspiration of the Bible. I was looking up our creed from Midwestern Baptist College. I've got it on my wall in my office. And that was the start of the creed. I believe in the inspiration of the Bible. And you know what? I stepped on campus there in 1997. And I'm here to tell you in 2014, I still believe in the inspiration of the Bible. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. And then he goes on in 2 Peter chapter 1 to tell us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad that I can trust this book, because not only is it inspired, but it's preserved. It's preserved. Read Psalm 12, 6 and 7. It talks about as silver is tried in the furnace of earth, that thy words are pure, tried in the furnace. You know what we have right here? We have a preserved Bible. I'm so glad. I feel bad for people that are still looking for the Bible. Every month it seems like the Bible of the Month Club comes out. And you've got the NIV and the TAV and the MICKEYMOUSE. And you've got all these versions. Listen, this old authorized version's been good for revivals on two continents. It's still good here. I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen. One of the reasons I love my church is because the Bible is magnified. We believe in its inspiration. We believe in its preservation. And praise God, around here, we still believe in its authority. This book says it, then I don't care if the whole world says 2 plus 2 equals 5. If this book says it's 4, it's 4. Yep, right. And listen, we're getting to that point, aren't we? Yes, right. The whole world is turned upside down. You just stay on the Bible and you'll be right side up. Why do I love my church? Because at this church, the Bible is magnified. Number two, I love my church because at my church, our church, His church, Jesus Christ is exalted. Amen. Go with me over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. We'll do a little traveling. Brother Ken Jackson, I'm going to need another cup of water back there, brother. Amen. I'm getting dry. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 15, please. In the book of Colossians. Oh, I've actually got to go back to verse number 13 to get the context there. It said, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of His dear Son." And here we have a gigantic prepositional phrase structure, all modifying His dear Son. And who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Jump over just a page. Chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Beware," and boy, this is a verse for today. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Listen, at this church, at Loomis Park Baptist Church, Jesus Christ is exalted. We exalt His virgin birth here. Amen. And because it was that virgin birth that allowed Him to become man, to become the propitiation for our sins, we exalt His sinless life here. Amen. The fact that for 33 and a half years He walked among us and never sinned. We exalt that here. We exalt that. You know what we exalt? We exalt His death. We have a special service here at Loomis Park Baptist Church, Crucifixion Wednesday. Yeah, some of you may know it, Good Friday. I'm not mad at you if you think Good Friday. I just believe 72 hours from Thursday to Sunday morning, that's all right. That's okay. But it's His death. Sweating the drops of blood in Gethsemane for you and I. when God laid the sins of the world upon Him. He took upon Himself, didn't He? Yep. He went a little further for you and I. And He allowed Himself to be stripped naked and beaten with a cat of nine tails and nailed to an old rugged cross for you and I. Ladies and gentlemen, at this church, Jesus Christ is exalted. His birth, His life, His death, and praise God, 3 days later, His victorious resurrection.
Amen.
He rose from the dead for our justification. At this church, I don't care what they do at the liberal churches. I don't care if they sing Kumbaya and read from Ingersoll. Jesus Christ is exalted here. I wouldn't go to a church where Jesus Christ wasn't exalted, because that's not a church. It's not a church at all. Why do I love my church? Because the Bible's magnified. Because Jesus Christ is exalted. Number three, because preaching is prominent. Because preaching is prominent. Well, you say, well, of course you love that. You're a preacher. I wasn't always a preacher. But I'll tell you, the churches that I were part of before I was a preacher, preaching was the main thing. Listen, I'm not against good music. It's one of my points tonight. I'm not against good music. I love good music. I love the kind of music that doesn't stimulate your flesh but encourages your spirit. Amen. But I promise you this. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. The church that I love, this church, is because preaching is prominent. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I went back and got a great quote from Dr. Malone this week. Dr. Malone said about preaching, he said, a sermon ought to bless people. And I agree with that. You ought to be blessed by a sermon. But he also said this, a sermon ought to bless people. It ought to tan their hide. Amen? I like it when the Holy Spirit gives me a spiritual spanking. Amen? I like it when I get my own timeouts when preachers are preaching. Amen? It ought to bless people. It ought to tan their hide. It ought to stretch their mind. I've heard preachers preach that I thought, good gracious, is there any grammatical construction in any of those sentences? Amen? Listen, It ought to stretch your mind a little bit. I know preachers that I enjoy. Of course, Dr. Malone was one. R.G. Lee, W.A. Criswell. They're extremely well read. Very well read. I'll stretch your mind. And I love this. He said it ought to bend their will. A sermon ought to bend your will. It's not just to inform. It's not just to inform. That's teaching. And then he said this. And preachers ought to bite somebody when they preach. So those of you in the first row, watch out. I'll come over with my teeth, amen. I agree with that. I think preachers ought to bite somebody when they preach. Listen, we're all made of the same stuff, and there are times when we're just not right with God. And Dr. Malone said this. He said, people need to be changed, and God uses preaching to do it. I just say this about preaching. Teaching is to inform and educate. Preaching is to challenge and drive to a decision. Drive to a decision. That's preaching, amen. Preaching, exalting Christ. Preaching is prominent. We preach Christ and Him crucified, Paul said. Jesus Christ is exalted. The Bible is magnified. Number four, why I love my church. Doctrine is taught here. Doctrine is taught. That's the teaching of the Bible. You remember what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Do you know what we teach in Sunday school class? Doctrine. You say, oh, we teach the Bible stories. Mrs. Harmon, there's a lot of doctrine in those Bible stories. You know, we learn that Jesus is God in those Bible stories. You know, and on I could go about the doctrines. We learn about the deity of Christ, the virgin birth. We learn about the second coming. We learn about salvation by grace through faith right here at the local church. Amen. Doctrine is taught here. Doctrine. Back where it tells us that the Bible was inspired, in the next verse it tells us why. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I love the fact that our church teaches the doctrines of the Bible. How else are my children going to learn the doctrines of the Bible? Oh yes, they'll learn them in my house, but thank God they're complemented by the local church. I love my church. I love my church. Doctrine is taught here. Deuteronomy 6:7, you ought to look up that verse. We're to teach them to our children. Doctrine is taught. Preaching is prominent. Jesus Christ is exalted. The Bible's magnified. Oh boy, number 5, and I could just camp here. I love my church because love is on display here. Love is on display here. Some of you have come to us recently, and we're glad you're here. Amen. Amen. Some of you came to us during a very difficult time, and we're glad you're here. Some of you have been here since Noah came off the ark, Brother Kelly. Amen. Amen. And I was bragging on some of you dear folks today. I said, you go ahead and look over at that wall of faith list. And other than shut-ins, you find people with 45 years or more, and I promise you they'll be here Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Love is on display here. The Bible says, Jesus said, a new commandment write I unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. When new families come in, like this dear family, the Gorney family, I'll tell you what, folks, you can tell that this is a church where there's love one for another. We're not perfect.
Amen.
Thank you for that, amen. If you are perfect, you've ruined it for the rest of us, amen. Because we were counting on a complete lack of perfection, and then you came in and ruined it, amen. No, no. But you know what we do? We look through the lens of love at one another. Because when you look through the lens of love, I'll tell you this, faults are thin where love is thick. And we don't see all the faults. We don't see all the issues. We see people that we love, our brothers and our sisters. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's here. It's here. We love one another. Look at that offering. It's here. It's here. Listen, when people are going through a rough patch, we had people visiting and people writing cards and people making phone calls. Why? Because love is on display here. I love my church. Love is on display. Number 6. Boy, I could preach a whole message on this one. The old paths are encouraged here. The old paths. The old paths. There is so much of this criticism of the old paths. I honestly, preacher, it nauseates me. I get sick of it to death. There's so much of it online where people are just criticizing fundamentalists and they call us IFBers. That's a pejorative word for our title, Independent Fundamental Baptist. It reminds me of the title Christians. You know what the title Christians was? It was a slang term. It was a put down. Hey, listen to me. Forgive me, I hope this is not pride in this way, but I am very privileged to be an independent fundamental Baptist. I'm not running away from it. I'm not interested one bit in new evangelicalism that lifts up the world and replaces old-fashioned separation with infiltration. That is to say, we need to be like the world to win the world. No, we don't either. No, we don't. You know, at Loomis Park Baptist Church, the old paths are encouraged. The old path of holiness. Not a lot of that outside at the other, you know, once-a-week churches. An hour of power. Not a lot of holiness being encouraged. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this book still says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's an old path. How about the old path of repentance? Repentance. That is changing your mind to God's mind. That's what repentance is. Repenting. I'm going the wrong direction. Personal separation. I mentioned this morning, and I don't know why. I apologize. I shouldn't have to apologize. I gave Pastor Donald and I don't apologize for this, amen. But I gave Pastor Donald a pamphlet a while ago. He's preaching to his teens by Dr. John R. Rice. What's wrong with the movies? Copyright, 1938. I'm just going to pretend that that didn't happen, amen? Lest we have to have a special business meeting to keep order in church, amen? That's why I love my church, amen? I'm going to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, flat out, movies haven't got better, they've gotten 100 times worse. No Christian ought to be there.
Right.
None. I don't care if you like the popcorn or not. By the way, I think it's the best ever, eh? Best I ever had in my life. Amen. Except at my house tonight, amen. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Personal separation is encouraged here. Ecclesiastical separation. We're not yoking up with every church in town just because they call themselves a church. You read about the church this year. I read about the church meeting at the bar. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, we're not fellowshipping. We're not fellowshipping. We're not doing it. Why? Because here the old paths are encouraged. And by the way, we're not mad at everybody. We just know that the old paths are the best paths. They're the paths that God laid out in His Word. The old path of holiness, personal separation. How about this one, folks? Proper attire. What, I tell you. It seems like anymore you preach on this and people think, well, you're a legalist. I'm going to tell you what a legalist is. Scripturally, a legalist is somebody that adds something to salvation. A legalist is somebody that says, if you don't wear a tie, you're not saved. Which is bad news for you ladies. Amen? And a legalist is somebody that says, if you don't wear a dress down to here, then you're not saved. Which is bad news for us guys. Because I'm not wearing a dress. Amen? Listen to me. Having standards isn't a legalist. It's somebody that believes the Bible. It's somebody that believes the Bible and says, you know what? It's okay to be modest, ladies. Amen. And by the way, fellas too. It's okay to look your best, dress your best for the Lord. Amen. I was talking to somebody just a couple weeks ago in my office, and they said, I don't have a real nice dress or anything. All I have is this. I said to that dear lady, I said, it's okay. Just press it. Just make sure it's ironed. Just make the best you have, make sure it's washed and clean and ready for Sunday. Yeah. Say, what are the old paths? How about the old path of prayer? Prayer. I can't tell you the encouragement that I've got in the last month of seeing our people all over this altar. Praying for Charlie Pudell. Yeah. Praying for Alex Biggs. Praying for Alex Biggs. And praying for one another up here. Old path of prayer. How about the old path of faith? Just faith. Old-fashioned faith. Having faith. Trust in God. That's an old path. How about family altar? Come on now. The family. What's the family altar? Getting together as a family with the Bible. Dad or mom reading the scriptures together. And by the way, Dad, if you're there, it ought to be you, Dad. You ought to be leading. You ought to be leading. It's okay for mom to do her part and have her place there. Think of that. Think of the Christian home. I think of marriage. It's hard to believe that marriage would be an old path. It's so relevant, but it is, isn't it? It's an old path. The old paths are encouraged. Number 7. Bible is magnified. Jesus Christ is exalted. Preaching is prominent. Doctrine is taught. Love is on display. The old paths are encouraged. Reaching people is important here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. Reaching people. reaching out to people. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me." And listen, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is we can be witnesses wherever we go. Even in Joanne Fabrics. Amen. Even at Myers. Amen. Even name the place. Praise God. I like being a witness in the summertime, Brother Mark, at Frosty Boy. I think that's a great place to witness personally. Amen. Amen. Wherever you go, be a witness. Why? I wouldn't want to be a part of a church. If there's another institution that's grabbing up and nauseating me, other than people that are criticizing fundamentalists, people are switching over to Calvinism. Oh, that whatsoever will be, will be. Well, you know, if Calvinism is true, no building would ever get built. Nobody would ever be evangelized. There's so much to it. I don't even want to get into. But I'll tell you what. You think about that. Why? If you're a Calvinist, why on earth pass out of track? And I'll tell you what, eventually Calvinist churches must die because they run out of people. Do you know what? The good thing is God gave us a gargantuan task to evangelize the world. That's right. You know what that means? There will always be candidates for church membership. As long as we are trying to reach people. Yep. And listen, we've seen it, folks. We've watched God bring in different people. Brother Harmon, did we knock on your door before you folks came? He knocked afterwards, amen. But we didn't go knocking and meeting the Harmons. Others of you that have come to our church, but I'll tell you what, we did go knocking, going after a lot of bus kids.
Yep.
We did go saturating our community with gospel tracts. Because why? Because reaching people is important here. I love my church because reaching people is important. By the way, we don't always reach them. I appreciated so much when Brother James Dean was here, my missionary friend to Russia. Siberian Arctic. 70 years of communism he's battling with. He said, it's not about sowing and reaping. We forget the other essential part of farming, and that's plowing. You know what some of you do every day when you pray? You plow. You plow. And it takes plowing. It takes plowers. It takes sowers. It takes reapers. It takes us all working together. But reaching people is important. It's important. Number 8. Reaching people is important. Oh, I love this. Saints are edified at Loomis Park Baptist Church. Saints are edified. Go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And this happens here every week. Look at verse 19 of Romans 14. Romans 14 is a chapter about the weaker brethren. You with weaker brethren. And by the way, each one of us has a weak spot. Each one of us has a spot, a kink in our armor, so to speak. Romans 14, 19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another." We've mentioned preaching and teaching already. That edifies us. Amen. Let me give you a couple other things that edify us. Fellowship. Fellowship. I love fellowship. I love the fact that Brother Leonard has to start flicking off lights at 9 o'clock tonight to get some of you to go home. Or sends me a text on Wednesday night as I'm driving the bus. "Preacher, there's still folks here fellowshipping. Would you mind locking up?" Listen to me, Brother Leonard. I don't mind. I don't mind. You know why? Because you get edified. I talked to a dear lady this week, dear member of our church. She has been out for several weeks. And she told me, she said, "Satan is sifting me." Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you how he does it. He isolates us. And the next thing you know, we get an Elijah complex. Uh-huh. Woe is me. Yeah. Only me. And I'll tell you what, what do? When we gather together, we edify one another. When you have people to your home, you edify them. Edifying one another. Saints are edified here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. We're built up. We could say we soak it up so God can wring us out. Amen. We're edified. Number 9. Oh, I love this. I already mentioned this. I won't stay too long on this one, but faithfulness is practiced here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. I'm preaching to the choir. You're the Sunday night crowd. There's not too many churches I know. And listen, we could always have more. I told the group yesterday for calling, one of these days for a service, we're going to put everybody on one side. Now, some of you just fighting and fussing, just thinking about it, amen? We're going to put everybody on one side. By the way, we could fit about 200 people on one side. And what we read was Luke chapter 14, where it says, "And yet there is room." I get that. I get that there's room, but I want to tell you this. There's not very many churches that have the comeback attendance that we have on Sunday nights, on Wednesday nights. Last year, our attendance in every service was over 100. Almost 200 on Sunday morning, back to 110 on Sunday night. Sunday school, 140. Wednesday night, 110. You know why? Because you're faithful. I understand, but I could not be a part of a church that just had one service a week. I need more. And I'll tell you what's beyond encouraging to me as your pastor, that you need more too. And that you could possibly put up with 4 sermons a week from me. Tell you what, you got grit, amen? You can take it, amen? You're like the Marines of Jackson, amen? Faithfulness is practiced here. Again, look at that list. Look at that list over there. The people that have passed on in our church recently. You know what Max DeCamp was? A picture of faithfulness. You know what Earl Wedge was? A picture of faithfulness. Vern Kidd, Warren Hicks. Pictures of faithfulness. Pictures of faithfulness. Faithfulness is practiced here. Faithfulness. I love my church for that. I love my church. There's so many faithful people. Some of you sweet seniors, you're great examples to us. Great examples. Lastly tonight, I love my church, his church, our church, because the Bible is magnified. Amen, church? Amen. Bible's magnified. Jesus Christ is exalted. Preaching is prominent. Doctrine is taught. Love is on display. Old paths are encouraged. Reaching people is important. Saints are edified. Faithfulness is practiced. And lastly tonight, I love my church because the music is right. Music is right. I know music is one of those very subjective things. And I get that everybody has different tastes. Some people like this, some people like that. But I'll tell you what's right about this church is we stay away from the edge of worldliness. Because here's the thing, just a simple illustration. If you stay away from the edge, you are not going to fall over the edge. You're not going to fall off the side. And what we have in our music is we have music that is uplifting, that is encouraging, that has proper mode and method. And by the way, for guests tonight, we don't always sing a cappella. Sometimes we sing with the piano or the organ, amen. Sometimes Pastor Donald will bring out his acoustic guitar. But the music is proper, it's uplifting, it's encouraging, it stays away from the flesh. I'll tell you what else it is, and I appreciate this about Pastor Donald. We're the same way. I want it to be exciting. Amen. We've been to meetings. I've been to places where I thought, my heavens, please, please get a song leader that has blood flowing through his veins. That man is dead. Stand up there and sing Victory in Jesus, which is a great song. We sing it, amen. We ought to sing, I heard an old... I heard an old... It was like being at the funeral parlor at 12 o'clock at night. I mean, good night. Listen, we love the old hymns. So much doctrine in there, but they're not dead. And neither should we be, amen. I love my church because the music is right. I love the people that play the instruments at our church because they love God, Miss Robin. Amen. Because God's worthy of our best. I love the different people. Miss Vivian with her accordion. I love that. I love the special musicians we'll have here. Dr. Zachary. Huh. Well, I tell you what, you can't beat old Dr. Zachary. Amen. Play that piano like it insulted him. Amen. The music is right here. Music is right. It's right. Oh, listen, I'd be glad to box with anybody about it. I play drums in a heavy metal band. I know a little something about beats. I know. And by the way, lest anybody spoil you, every piece of music has a beat. This is a beat. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, that's a beat. Amen. But I'll tell you what. We want the right kind of music. We want the kind that bends to the melody, not to the beat. That has the right kind of words and lyrics that exalt our Savior. We're gonna end with a hymn tonight called "And Can It Be?" And I'll tell you what, I love everything about that song. I love how it magnifies our Savior. I love the meter and the rhythm of it. I love that song. Why? The music is right at our church. Music is right. By the way, we always welcome more special musicians, people that can play, as long as you're within the bounds of right music. Yeah. Amen. That's why we search out songs. We go the extra mile to say, what's the association with this song? Is it associated with things that we don't want to be associated with? And we'll scrap it out. We want everything to be right about our church, including the music. Listen, I love my church because the music is right. I love my church because faithfulness is practiced. I love my church because the saints are edified. I love my church because reaching people is important. I love my church because the old paths are encouraged. I love my church because love is on display. I love my church because doctrine is taught. I love my church because preaching is prominent. I love my church because Jesus Christ is exalted. And I love my church, which is His church. Amen? Because the Bible's magnified. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. I love you, church. You are the church. You are the church. And I love you tonight. Father,